Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's a guy who has often been called both a whiner and a wiener, Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another edition of Rob Has a Podcast, a very special Thanksgiving edition of Rob Has a Podcast. Hope everybody is having a very happy holiday. I am especially thankful this year for all of the fun that we've been having lately on the show and how you guys have been making that possible for me, which I'm sure you guys realize is a bit of a dream come true for me, all of the fun that we've been getting to have recently. This past week, we had three of the top 10 shows on the iTunes TV and film charts. Very much appreciated. Thanks to all you guys who have been leaving us comments and feedback on iTunes. That helps out with the rankings as well. Thank you guys so much. I cannot give enough thanks to everybody who's been making Rob Has a Podcast possible over the last calendar year. So that's what I'm especially thankful for this year in particular. But we're also very thankful for what has been a very exciting Survivor season, especially post-merge. It's been one exciting thing after the next. While this week it wasn't exactly a big seismic game-changing shift in the game, but still something that's very interesting to talk about, and that is whether Mike Scoopin made the right decision. So we'll talk about all of that in our show today and recap everything with our guests today, Troy Robertson from Survivor One World, and we'll talk about everything from this season with him and ask him a little bit about his season and, you know, people's perceptions of him and his whole thing with Kim. So we'll get into all that today on the show. But a lot of good stuff coming in the next couple days. Let me just give you a rundown of here what is in store for you guys over the next couple days. I'm going to be very busy over these next couple days. No four-day weekend for this guy, because I will be hard at work getting you not just this podcast. I'm also going to be putting in a phone call to the one and only Tyson Apostle over the weekend. We're going to talk about, well, the thing is, we couldn't do a regular recap with Tyson. He hasn't been watching this season, but he was going to watch this week's episode. So we'll talk to Tyson about Survivor. We'll catch up with him. I'll post a thread over the weekend, probably sometime on Friday on Facebook, to get questions for Tyson. So we'll catch up with Tyson. Probably won't be all Survivor talk, as those podcasts tend to go off on a few tangents, but it's always a lot of fun to catch up with Tyson. I'm really excited to tell you guys also, I mentioned this recently, it was something on my podcast bucket list. Survivor Jeopardy is happening this Tuesday night, live, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. I will bring you Survivor Jeopardy. The way this is going to work, I will be hosting a Jeopardy game about Survivor played by three survivors. And let me tell you who's going to be in this Jeopardy game. All right. We have to figure out who were these Survivor superfans. Who are the people who know the most about Survivor, who were on Survivor? So, we're going to start off with a man who was once the youngest man to ever play Survivor. We're going to talk to Spencer from Survivor China. He's in the game. Then we're going to bring in another woman who is such a super fan, she kissed Jeff Probst on the face at Tribal Council. We'll bring in Sarah Dawson and a man who, despite having a reputation for being one of the most controversial and potentially unliked Survivor players, he is also a Survivor superfan. Colton Cumbie is going to be on the Jeopardy game board show. So we're going to have those three players. They're going to be duking it out live, Survivor Jeopardy. That's going to be Tuesday night. And then we're not going to do Rob as a Web show on Tuesday morning, because instead we're going to do Survivor Jeopardy that night. So that's going to be a lot of fun. Had a great time last night. Live Survivor recap right after the show ended with Nicole. We went, got into everything. I broke out the cork board. We sort of moved the pieces around on this Survivor game board to see what's going to happen next. If you missed that, I highly suggest you check that out in our archives. Go to robhasawebsite.com if you're listening to us on audio, or just check it out on the website if you're already there. So, one last thing I want to talk about is, hey, Black Friday is this upcoming Friday, this weekend. You might be listening to it on Black Friday. I implore you, save yourself some trouble. Don't be bothering with the stores. One, it's cold outside. Two, people are crazy. They will trample you and they will stomp you to death and not think twice about it. That's what happens. And I'm joking around, but really, people have died. It's not a, it isn't funny. People get crazy. Like, I need Jumping Tigger. I need Jumping Tigger. It's mine. Jingle All the Way was a documentary. It was not a work of fiction. Anyway, you don't need to bother with any of that. Go to Amazon.com and do all of your holiday shopping. You can go ahead and get in on all of their Black Friday deals if you use the link. Rob has a website.com/Black Friday. They've got all of the best deals that they're in very limited quantities. So they have a countdown and everything that tells you how many they have left. If you go there, you can get the best deals and you can help support this podcast, which is always very appreciated and something that I'm also very thankful for this Thanksgiving. So, all right, everybody, here we go. Let's bring in our guest for this week's Survivor podcast. You know him from Survivor One World. It was his island. Everybody else was just renting from him. Here he is, one of the fan favorites from last season. Here's Troyzan.
Hey there, Rob. How's it going?
Troy, how are you?
I'm pretty good. It's like, I laugh when you say fan favorite because I know some of your fans, they don't like me.
No, I know. Troy, you are very polarizing because I feel like there are some people that love you, say, oh, Troyzan, we love Troyzan. And then I got a lot of people that said, we never want to hear from Troyzan. That's enough of him. Why are you so much people either love you or hate you?
I am like the Oakland Raiders. either you love us or you hate us. It's like one. If you're a fan of Troyzan and you like the way I played, they love you. But then there's other people like, oh, he's obnoxious and he's full of himself and he's this and that. It's like, you know, I mean, I get it. You know, I wish that someone would actually meet me live and see who I am, because I think it's funny how people have a preconceived idea of really who you are 100% when they've only seen you, you know, play on Survivor. And, you know, they only remember, like, you know, this is my island and don't F with me. And, you know, me walking around like like Matt the Rooster or something. You know, so it's kind of funny. But yeah, I don't mind it. I mean, I think I have, you know, as far as fans, I think I get a lot more positive than negative.
Good. Yeah, I think I can break it down. I think on the pro side, the people that like you, they love it that you didn't quit, you didn't give up, you were down in the numbers, and we see so many times on Survivor where people are, and even some people on your own season, we won't name names, but people who are just like, oh, okay, well, I'll just come in, you know, whatever place I come in, and that was pretty good, and you never took that attitude. You know, never say die, and people really love that you just fought tooth and nail until they dragged you out of there kicking and screaming. People like to see that.
Oh yeah, no, I think people do. I think that's what I mean. I've talked to a lot of past, you know, Survivor people that played the game, and I've actually a lot of the winners, and they were all really very appreciative of how I, you know, wore my emotions on my sleeve and tried to, you know, 100% was not going to take any crap from anybody and just play, you know, hard. And I think it's, you know, our play to try to switch things up or at least do something, you know, it's like, and they appreciated that a lot. So it's like, you know, but it's like I said, I'm like the Oakland Raiders. Either you love us or you hate us because we play tough.
All right, well, let me get into why I think that you meet some adversity while there's some people that aren't the Troyzan fans. Here's what I think it comes down to. I think that some people feel like, look, Kim played a great game. Kim was one of the best players that we've had on the show in the last couple of years, especially one of the best female players that we've had, you know, right there with Parvati. I think that's not a crazy thing to say. And I think that people feel like you didn't give her the credit for winning the game, and you seemed a little bitter with Kim. And people say, I think that on Survivor, we want you to say, look, I, you're not my favorite person in the world, but you did a good job. Even though I don't want to have a beer with you, you did a good job.
Well, there's several. I get that part that they want me to be like, oh, congratulations, Kim, you're the greatest. You know, you're better than poverty and this and that. I mean, I disagree. I think poverty's better.
Yeah.
I have a certain idea of how the game was played out there way more than everybody else and way more than what anybody ever saw on the show. And there are some things that happen in this game, and you know as well as I do, but the fans don't, that there are unseen things. And I will never agree with certain things that happened that were not seen. And it's like, it's basically all I can say. I mean, at some point down the road, years to, you know, from now, I'll be able to
write
tell
a book.
A story,
yeah.
And say what the reason why I won't give Kim 100% credit. I just won't.
Okay.
I have my reasons, and I'm not just making it up. The way she played the game out there, fine. That's perfect.
Yeah.
But behind the scenes, I don't agree with some of the things that her and the women did. And that's it.
Okay. Well, you don't have to.
I'm adamant about that. Fair is fair.
Fair.
She knows what I'm talking about. Chelsea knows what I'm talking about. Kat knows what I'm talking about.
Whoa.
Sabrina knows what I'm talking about. And so does Christina.
All right. One day you'll tell where all the
one
bodies
day.
Are buried. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the other thing I thought, what'd you say on the reunion show where you said that you were, people said that you were like Richard Hatch? Was that what you said?
Here's the thing, too. I think people got misunderstood, that they thought I was comparing myself to Richard Hatch and Russell Hanson and you know, Boston Rob and all the greatest players. It wasn't that. It was when I got voted out and the fans who liked me and the people that supported me, they were all tweeting or emailing me or texting saying, listen, we loved the way you played. You know, you're my favorite player since Richard Hatch. You're my favorite player. I like you just as much as this person. Mm-hmm. I like you just as much as Rob says. You know, even they mentioned
Boston Rob.
You know?
Boston Rob.
Yeah, Boston Rob, but they did say Rob Cesternino as well. So I'm like, listen, you know, that's so at the finals, when Jeff asked me the question, how are your fans feeling? I don't know if it came out wrong that I wasn't comparing myself like because I didn't win.
Yeah.
I think the fans that don't like me are like, this guy didn't win. You know, he got voted out and there's like, you know, seven people in front of him. And here he is comparing himself to, you know, some of the best players who made it, you know, really far in the game.
Yeah.
So it wasn't that. It's just that people liked the way that I played and enjoyed my character out there just as much or if not more than some of the best players of all time, which made me feel great. I'm like, really? Are you? I mean, I know you're not comparing me to him, but you're putting me in the same sentence as Richard Hatch and Russell Hance and Boston Rob. I'm like, wow. Well, thanks. Thank you guys. I mean, I appreciated that a lot. And maybe it didn't come out right in the finale, but that's really what it was. It wasn't that. I don't think I'm better than someone who finished better than me. I feel like, you know, if I was given another chance, like Boston Rob four times, mm-hmm. sure.
Hey, you did better than Boston Rob your first time.
Okay, yeah, but see, fans forget stuff like that. Fans forget too, like some of the best players of all time, you know, on an all-star version or a heroes versus, villains, season, that they didn't finish that great. So what makes them so great?
Yeah,
you know, like, and that's the thing too. Like, if I get a chance to play again and I win, I'm always going to say there's a bit of luck involved in this game. It is, you know, the outwit, outplay, outlast thing. But it also is there is some luck involved. You know, there's in this game that maybe fans don't grasp. You have no control when tribes are switched. You have no control that you're playing with someone that's never played the game before, or there is luck involved in this game where it's like just by chance someone on your alliance happens to get sick and go out. I mean, that's not strategy. That's just pure luck.
Yeah.
Like for example, I mean, Colton was in my alliance. It's bad luck to me that Colton was gone. That's one person gone, one man down, and one number down. You know, so that's one of those things where it's like you have to say to yourself, did someone's luck just get, are they lucky in a sense? I think, you know, whatever, 20, even if it's 20% luck, there still is some luck in this game.
Yeah. You got to be good and you got to be lucky. That's really what it comes down to.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't just be lucky. And you can't just be good. You got to have both things. And, you know, you're not always going to be lucky every time you play the game.
Right. I mean, if you're lucky enough to be on a tribe that's always winning, that, you know, that's a little bit of luck. If you're unlucky to be on a tribe that's not winning, you know, like your all-star season.
Oh, well, let's not go into that.
Okay,
let's not
I'm just saying, you mean you were unlucky.
I get it.
You were unlucky, right? Am I right?
I mean, I think I could have played better also, but yeah, I did get an unlucky draw for yours truly.
Right, okay. So I just want to put that out there.
Yeah, we get it.
Even if it's 10%, it's part of,
well,
it
it's
is
more than 10%.
Part of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so let's segue into this season. And I did my calculations before this podcast, and I realized this was the perfect time to talk to you because you went out last season at Final Eight, and this was the episode with the Final Eight. And so we had also a sort of a desperate situation there for Pete and Abby Maria, and they were in the game together, but not like yourself, who was in the same point where it was really basically everybody against you at that at that point in time, right?
Yes, exactly. They even put on the CBS commercials, they're like, Troyzan versus everyone.
Yeah.
So it was like, yeah, it really was. It was interesting. I'm liking this season, right? I mean, like in the last 3-4 weeks, it's really gone, you know, up like 2 or 3, 4 notches for me as far as like a really good season.
Yeah, it's really been a fun season, especially post-merge, because it's really been, unlike last season where it sort of came to be Kim dominating the game and Kim putting her will on, you know, how the last like 7 or 8 people went out of the game. This is really open-ended, and it's really anybody's game here, much more of a horse race.
Yes, and I think very much more interesting to watch. I mean, even though I'm always going to be a little bit biased toward my season as far as, like, you know, liking it, liking the people in it. I mean, watching this, it's like we really don't know who's doing what and what's really going to go down at Final Tribal Council. It's like you have a good guess, but not really. Even last night, you know, even the way it's edited, I'm thinking like, well, is Scoopin' going to do something wacky here? Is he going to make a big move that he's talking about? You know, like they keep you really guessing. And that's what I like. I mean, I like it when things get switched around. I don't like it. You know, I don't think anybody wants it like predictable to the end. It becomes like, well, why am I watching? It's just going to, I'm going to watch the challenges and I'm just going to watch one person just dominate or tell everybody else what to do.
Right.
It's done. It's like, oh, that becomes Boorsville. Right?
Not as fun. So yeah. Now, the big move this week was Mike had a decision to make. He could have voted with Abby Maria and with Pete to take out Malcolm this week, and he decides not to do it. We sort of broke it down both ways on the recap that I did last night live after the show. But what's your take on which side of that do you fall on? Should, I know you're always in favor of making a big move. Should Mike have made that big move and gone with Abby Maria and Pete?
Well, if he was thinking about it, Abby Maria, if what we're seeing is true, really doesn't have a clue totally what's going on. Mm-hmm. So she would be easy to beat at a Final Tribal Council if anyone is thinking correctly. So to me, he knows Malcolm's a good player. Everybody knows they all say it, that Malcolm, he's really an intelligent guy and he's very likable. So to me, it's like, really, if he really was playing 100% the game, and maybe not about like, well, friendships and I'm loyal to this and loyal to that, because you got to kind of throw that out the door when it gets to this point, like this loyalty thing. I think that he probably should have switched it up and got rid of Malcolm, because for one, he's got an idol, and how long is he going to keep that thing for? Mm-hmm. and to keep himself safe. And I think that it might have been a better move. I'm trying to, like, I'm writing these names down and seeing like what would happen if he did do that.
Yeah.
You know. But I think, I don't know. Maybe he got nervous with Pete, because Pete is like a shifty guy, and I know Pete, and he probably gets the feeling that Pete doesn't like him. So he maybe in some weird way, Mike was thinking like, if I keep Pete around, he's going to make a move towards me, because he doesn't like, you know, he's always had that threat of like, you know, returning players, we got to get rid of them.
Yeah.
So
I don't think that there was a clear side for to fall on. Like, we broke it down last night, and it's sort of like, yeah, you can get rid of Malcolm, who's a physical threat, but then you leave Pete in the game. Pete's not really crazy about Mike scooping, and then you sort of are seen as sort of like a snake type of guy that you flipped on your alliance. You gave your word to these people. That hurts you with the jury potentially. And so, if all things being equal, yeah, you get rid of Malcolm, but you leave Pete in the game. Malcolm had an idol. It doesn't seem like there was that much to be gained. You already had a Final Four deal. It wasn't like Mike was in a bad position in the game. It seems like he's closer to the top of the food chain right now than the bottom of the food chain. It would have made more sense for a guy like Penner to do something like this and go along with, because he's more on the bottom. He's more, you know, has a much better chance of next week, either if they decide not to vote out Abby Maria, or if Abby Maria somehow wins immunity, and God only knows what that contest would be for her to win the immunity. But Penner seems like he could be somebody who's the next person to go out of the six. And I think it would make more sense for somebody in a worse position to make that move than for Mike Scoopin to make that move.
Yeah, I guess now that I hear, I agree with that, because I think that Denise is the kind of person that is like, if you make a bad move against her, like if Mike would say like, listen, okay, I'm going against our four, you know, the four, Mike, Lisa, Malcolm, and Denise. If Mike all of a sudden decides, you know, he's going to vote out, I mean, if Mike says he's going to vote out Malcolm, or doesn't say that and does it, he's lost Denise then at that point.
Yeah. And more importantly, he needs Lisa to come along with him, not necessarily for this vote. And last week they voted differently on the artist vote. But if Lisa decides, hey, look, I don't want to be in an alliance with Abby Maria and with Pete. So now there's seven people. There's still four on the other side. If Lisa wants to stick with Penner, with Carter, and Denise, if Lisa sticks with them, they've still got a majority, 4-3. And then if they say, hey, look, we're pissed off at Scoopin', let's vote Scoopin' off, you think Abby Maria and Pete for 1 second would say, yeah, screw Scoopin'. We don't care. Yeah. Let's get rid of him.
The person, I mean, we might talk about this later. The person I don't get last night was Penner.
Yeah.
Turning down a final three. Like, what's better for his option? What is he thinking about right there? Like, someone says to me, a final three, even if I don't agree with it, I'm going to agree with it because I'll make that one option. I mean, I would say yes in a second. I mean, I don't know where his, I really want to know what his thinking was on that, because he's like,
yeah,
that was crazy to me. I like, what's he thinking about?
Yeah, we were talking about this last night too. It seems crazy for Penner to turn down a final three, because Penner, he was very adamant about sticking with the six. But once it gets down to six, where is Penner going from here? Maybe is it almost like last season where you're trying to get Kat to come along with you? And it's like, well, what is the plan after, if you don't come with me? How is your plan to get to the end? And for Penner, I'm asking the same question, because once he gets down to six, it seems like, especially considering the other people have a final four, him and Carter are the next two people to go out at 5 and 6 once they get rid of Abby Maria.
Exactly. And I don't get, I'm not sure who he wants to go to. I mean, if I was just to ask him straight up, who do you want to take to the final three? Somebody that you feel like that you can beat because they're not good, or somebody that is it going to be one of these things where everyone's going to be like, I'm going to take the best to the end. And if I want to be the best, I'm going to beat the best.
Right.
Which to me is like, you know, maybe rolling the dice, because this is just about money really, isn't it? Unless people are like, well, I just want to win. I want to beat the best, you know. I don't know. I'd like to ask him. And sometimes I know we don't see everything, so I want to know what other conversations that has been going on with Penner and Carter, and perhaps, like, I don't know, maybe even Denise and Malcolm that he just don't see, because I'm a little baffled by that one.
I don't know. I mean, I think maybe he feels like he needs to be, he doesn't want to be seen as like a sneaky guy, and he doesn't want to be seen as though he's looking ahead too far in the game. But for a veteran to come back and to not, one, say no to any deal for the final three, which is like, you know, on Survivor, you say yes to everything because you don't, it's better to, you know, ask
of
forgiveness.
Because now that he's actually basically in a way said no to Mike and Lisa, they've got a little bit of like, I'm a little paranoid of that. Why wouldn't he accept that? What's his other option? When you turn someone down, and you know how it is out there, paranoia is jacked up 100%, and you have to try to trust as much as you can. But if you start to hear little things, even if it's the smallest thing, paranoia sets in, and it just keeps going. It doesn't just go away. You know, that's why it's hard for people to constantly switch, because people are too paranoid out there. You know, that's why you saw Mike, Lisa, Malcolm, Denise do the, you know, the blood handshake and swear on your family and all that stuff. It's like people, they want to feel safe. Yeah. They don't want to feel paranoid walking around for, you know, the next 9-10 days. They can't stand that. So it's getting interesting. I mean, this is why I like this season, though, because it keeps me on my toes. I get all fired up. Like last night before the show starts, an hour before it starts, you know, I'm getting all antsy, getting all nervous. I'm like, well, I'm not even playing. and I'm nervous. So if that's the case, that tells me the season's great. So, you know, and I can't wait to really see what's going to go down, because now it's at 7, which is one of those where, you know, 4 and 3 thing going on.
Yeah.
So I'm curious now. Really, this has got my interest crazy high.
Yeah, I don't know what Penner is waiting for here. I mean, it would be one thing if Malcolm and Denise asked him to go to the final three, but he really was holding out for Lisa and Scoopin. But can you come up with a better final three scenario? Is it because they didn't ask Carter to be in the final three and he's tighter with Carter than we're letting on? But
unless he's got some wild idea that he's going to take, is he's going to try to get there with Carter and Abby, you know, or Abby, however you say it, then he's probably got a chance. Yeah. If those three were the finals, he has a good chance of winning.
Yeah, but we haven't seen that at all. And his plan his plan was to vote out Abby and Pete, and he said, you know, let's just figure it out once we get there. I don't want to do anything crazy. We'll just keep it as it is. That's fine. You know,
that's
bullocks.
And so yeah. That's pretty good impression there, buddy. I almost thought it was like Penner came into the show there for
playing
a second.
Clips. Yeah.
you know whose voice who he sounds like to me?
Who's that?
Howard Stern.
Oh.
Doesn't he? Like, if you listen to his voice close, he's like, dude, that's Howard Stern's voice right there.
I can see that. The one that people always say is Alan Alda, but yeah, I can see that.
A little bit, yeah. You have the cross. You're like a cross. You're really close. I mean, what, did you practice this?
Well, it is episode 10, so I have had a lot of practice this season.
And there's no Abby Marie. You're not even gonna try that one.
I have tried it. It's not really so much of an impression as it is a caricature of what
the Portuguese Brazilian accent is. Is a tough one to pick up anyway.
Yeah. Well, what do you?
She's an American citizen, right? I mean, has to be.
This is the thing that came up last night. That Jeff was trying to say that, oh, this must be a cultural thing with Abby Maria. And again, I don't know her background or anything like that, but I didn't get the impression that she has just moved to America. I thought she's been here for quite some time, and I can't imagine that she's not familiar with our customs here in America of if people are starving, you don't say to them, oh, I'm so full. I have a 3-month baby. Oh,
I'm so tired of beans. I just this and we were dipping them in the sauce.
Yeah.
You know what? I do know, you know, girls from different countries, Brazil, Colombia, whatever, they're dual citizenship. And they still have this Latin. I mean, you know, she may have been living in Brazil up until just, you know, or maybe she goes back and forth, mm-hmm. which I know a lot of my friends do that as well. You know, they'll live in Colombia for 2 or 3 months, come back here, work in New York, and then go back, and they're back and forth. But they're always if they're born in Colombia, they always still have like a Colombian accent, like she has an accent accent from Brazil. I mean, she spent the majority of her life in Brazil. If she grew up in the States, she wouldn't have that accent like she does.
Mm-hmm.
And I could kind of see, you do get kind of lost as far as like you're explaining yourself. Like when she was at Final Tribal Council, people will be surprised. I did feel a little bit for her because I know that it's like she's coming across as not understanding our ways. But there are, you do get lost in translation sometimes as far as certain things. I mean, and they were trying to say like, no, but you know, if you're rude, you're rude. But it's a fine line. Like I can't even put a word on it, but there is a difference in as far as like, even when, like last tribal council, when she was saying something about, what was the word that they was using? When she talked to Lisa about being, having grace.
Grace.
I don't think she quite grasped that. That's a, you know, there, it's a word and she probably understands it, but not fully.
Yeah.
And I don't think she fully understands like what she's actually doing.
Well, I'll see your point. I'll concede that point to you, Troy. But when she comes back from the challenge and she says to them, you know what? I'm done cooking for you guys. You're going to vote me out anyway. I'm done cooking, but I'm not done eating. I never said I was done eating. I'm done cooking for you people. This is not something that's being lost in translation here. This is not right. Like, oh no, I was actually being nice. This is
no,
custom.
You're,
when
you're 100% right. That's just her personality. But the thing is, her personality, she doesn't get it. People that have a personality like hers that are blunt like that, they don't get it. They don't grasp the fact that they're being rude. They think that's normal in their mind because that's the way they've been their whole lives. So they don't. Then they've never been maybe called out as much as you would be called out in Survivor, like Tarzan last year, you know, in my season. You know, he doesn't. He doesn't understand when he's annoying somebody. He thinks that's normal. It just you know, I'm gonna throw my underwear in the pot, and I'm gonna explain to it this totally normal to everybody. But everyone was like, Tarzan, you're an idiot. You're not. This isn't normal. But he doesn't grasp. He didn't grasp it. It's just like her. Abby Marie doesn't grasp the fact that she's being rude. She doesn't know it. She doesn't. She doesn't have that capacity in her head. She just doesn't. That's her personality, and that's it. People, and you can't change someone out there. I mean, and obviously that's the reason why she's out there, because we have 18 different personalities. It wouldn't work if everybody all was the same and everyone agreed with Denise and we should all be happy-go-lucky and be the same, you know, like, you know, this certain type of person.
Yeah.
Everybody out there is 100% different from everybody else. That's what makes the show good.
So we touched on this a little bit earlier, but Denise said at the Tribal Council, look, hey, this is not going to be one of these seasons where we want to take somebody who doesn't deserve to be in the end, like Abby, a bad player. We're not taking her to the end because that's not how we're doing it this time around. Now, do you agree with that as a philosophy? Because that seems like terrible Survivor play. If the object is to win the game, why wouldn't you take somebody like Abby Maria as far as you could?
Right. Well, what's happened is the fact that because now we're in season 25 and the majority of all the players have seen this show, you know, a bunch of times. It's like one of those things where everyone kind of copies what has happened in the past season. So it's like, well, what do we do? OK, we have to get an alliance of a certain amount of number and it's a numbers game. And then we're going to take the worst players to the end. And that's the way you win. And that's kind of like the, you know, the way it goes. The MO. But
right.
But the thing is too, depending on how strong you are, if you're perceived as the strongest, yeah, sure, take the worst player. But if you're like the second strongest, I might be a little more apt to keep somebody around that's pretty strong, or at least is stronger than me, or everyone thinks or is saying that is stronger than me, because they're always going to have a target on their back and not me.
Who did you want to take to the end on your season?
At what point?
Let's say post-merge. Post-merge.
Oh, post-merge. I wanted to take Christina because I knew that she could not come up with anything.
Yeah,
and I was gonna and Tarzan.
Okay, so you are clearly not in the Denise camp on how to play the end of the game.
No, not in our season. No way. Because it's like, you know, although I felt like, you know, I get her. It's like very noble to, you know, want to play it like it's a real game, like, you know, boxing, you know, to beat the best, you know, you got to be the best to beat. You have to beat the best to be the best, you know, that kind of thing. Where, you know, I'll take on who's the best at everything. I'll you know, who's going to have the best final tribal speech. I'll take you on. No problem. You know, I mean, we all kind of have that attitude, but, you know, it is about winning, you know? So, and this is not like a normal sports game, you know, there's way more to it than that. So it's like one of those things where it's, I don't think it's very smart. Has it ever been done where there's three just outstanding players at the end?
No, it's never been done.
Or two. Yeah. So it's like there's, because the jury is smarter than that. They, you know, I mean, it's one of those things where they're never going to vote for someone who they felt didn't do anything, who just went along, you know. I mean, Abby Maria, I mean, you can't tell me that who's going to vote for her? Like, who would?
An artist, I guess.
But really, would they? Would they?
I think they would. I mean, she was nice to them.
I mean, if Denise and Abby Marie were for the final two.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no way. I just don't see it happening. Like, I don't see how. It just doesn't make any sense. I think that you have to take at least one person that's the coattailer or clueless or the one that pisses everybody off. You know, it's a smart way to do it. You know, if you want to win, you know.
Yeah,
if
you need that person in the final three, because I may be wrong about this. I think there's only been one time where in the final three all three of the people got the vote. Usually there's one person who gets zero votes. In the final three. I think that was in China that all three of them got a vote. But every other time, somebody is always coming up with the goose egg in that final three.
Right. I can't wait for the day that there's a final tribal tie.
It'll never happen 3-3-3 because there will never be three people that everybody likes equally.
Right. Yeah. I kind of wish it would go back to final two.
Yeah.
Three
is. We'll see. It might happen this season.
Yeah, I hope, because three is just, yeah, like you said, odd man out. One guy, you know, one person's always going to end up with nothing.
Yeah.
And it's 2-on-2 is just better. I just think it's so much more difficult for the jury to try to figure it out. I think it makes a better final tribal council as far as questions and answers. Like, you know, you can drill two people instead of one. Two people can take each other on, say shit about each other, you know.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm more of a two person final.
Well, it changes things up because especially in this season where we have so many pairs in the game at seven, we have the pair of Malcolm and Denise. Right. We have the pair of Lisa and Scoopin, and then we have the pair of Carter and Penner. And then Abby Maria is that swing vote, and she's sort of like the one that nobody wants to touch with a 10-foot pole, but it would be wise for one of these pairs to align with her and get her as a swing vote to take out. Like, these pairs need to start turning on each other. You know, right. I know that we have Malcolm and Denise wanting to hook up with Scoopin' and Lisa.
Right.
But we'll see. That'll only get you to four, and unless you have a fifth person along there to break the tie at final five, you're headed towards a 2-2 vote at final four. We don't like ties in Survivor.
No, right. I it's the thing is, when you make, you know, like Mike and Lisa, say one of those two decided to make some big move, and they make the move, then all of a sudden they know that they've pissed off. You know, Malcolm and Denise. Although, I mean, this Carter guy seems easily. I'm not sure what. Every time I say this Carter, because I don't know what he's done. He's won a couple of challenges, but even when he wins challenges, that guy is so laid back, or I don't know what he is. Like, I think he has found the. A wacky weed in the bushes.
Whoa.
Because he seems like he's just he seems like he's stoned half the time. He doesn't get, like, he just kind of, even in his tone of voice, is like, Yeah, I won, man. Okay. Whatever, bro.
Well, he's very hungry. We've established this during the sandwich trade.
I know, but even that. I mean, this guy, he hadn't said anything in about 8 episodes. And then all of a sudden, because he won a couple of challenges, you know, they showed him a few times. But I'm still waiting for something that's a little bit more animated to come out of Carter.
Oh, well, keep waiting.
Some kind of strategy, some kind of something where he has some input in a conversation with two or three or
You're
something.
Waiting for a bus that's not coming, Troy Zam.
I mean, I think he's waiting for a bus that's not coming.
Oh, what's your take on Lisa? We haven't talked about her too much. First of all, are you a fan of the Facts of Life?
I actually am. I actually liked the other girl in the Facts of Life, though. I had a crush
Which one,
on
Joe.
Joe was hot. Yeah, Joe, the kind of the tomboy. Yeah, she had the brunette hair.
Yeah, and rode a motorcycle.
Yes, exactly. I was a Joe fan. Lisa was a little bit too. I shouldn't say Lisa. I should say Blair.
Blair
was a little bit too prissy for me.
Yes,
but she was pretty hot. She had the nice breasts back then.
Whoa.
Yeah, there, right back at you. So, like, it's true. But when she came on in the beginning, I had the sneaky feeling like they're going to show her a few times and she's going to be like gone like Jimmy Johnson. Mm-hmm. She's not going to be able to handle it, and they're going to find out. Someone's going to find out that she's, you know, a rich actress or blah, 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 whatever they were going to make up, and she was going to go. I just didn't think she would handle it. But little by little, I've started to really like what she says, like what she does. She comes across as like a very likable person. You know, she's the sweet church lady, and she gets really pretty good, you know, confessionals. And she seems like she is willing to let people know that she's, you know, religious, and then she's, you know, trustworthy and the mom. But she has, there's this little part of her that's like, you know what? This is Survivor, and I'm going to make a sneaky move when I can, and I really don't care. It's going to come. And I feel like that's going to come.
Mm-hmm.
That she's going to make some move that she's that's going to be like, what? Like, really? Kind of like with Jay last year with me. She's like Jake. You know, Jay was religious, and they didn't show it a lot, but he'd pray and pray over the pizza and pray over this, and he'd talk about the Bible. Thank you, God, for this beer.
Okay. Right.
And, you know, so, and a very trustworthy guy. And then he did the full backstab on me, which was like just shocking. It was out of the blue. You know, I had zero idea that was going to happen. So I have a feeling, you know, that she's going to do something sneaky.
Okay, now something that we've been following all season long, we like to follow what the survivors are saying on Twitter, and you have been very vocal in your comments, and not so much recently because it hasn't come up too much, about you really had very strong things to say on Twitter about some of the Bible stuff, the God stuff that we saw earlier in the season with Russell Swan and with Roxy. You know, you mentioned it with Lisa a little bit. What's your take on that? Because you had very strong opinions from the Twitter that we read.
I just don't like religion getting mixed up with this show, because I think it comes across as completely fake. And because even though castaways will say, like, well, it's a game. It's just a game. You know, it's not really real. But they'll use their real part, their real life in the game. And then, you know, it's like they're using, you know, their religion. They're using Jesus. They're using this person that, you know, is so high and mighty to them. It's like, if he came down himself, would, like, you know, out of the sky, like wherever he's from, would he agree with what you're doing? I just don't like this holier than thou thing. Mm-hmm. that happens with, you know, people in the season saying like they're so trustworthy and they're so religious, and 90% we don't see, you know, the religious people, they sit around the campfire and they talk about God and they sing songs and everything is about, you know, and they pray in the corners with each other in the circles and all these things, you know, and then they go out and they backstab somebody and they like, well, that's okay. God will forgive me. Like, well, and then they'll come back out of the game and say, well, it was just a game and that was just a character. That's not me. That's not true. That is you. So just, you know, own up to it. I don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I maybe would feel different if it's like if I saw a Buddhist there and you know, one of the guys was a Buddhist and another one was a, you know, why can't we throw a Muslim in there? You know, like let watch him go crazy. Let's just if we're going to include it, let's have some, you know, people, you know, with the Jewish religion that he can wear his, you know, yarmulke. Is that what it is?
Yeah, wear a yarmulke. Yeah.
Whatever. You know, I mean, let's just do it. Let's do the whole thing. It's always the crazy Christians. That's what I say. It's the crazy Christians. They're always the ones that are like, you know, acting crazy, but then saying like, well, no, I'm not crazy. I'm not doing this. Me and Russell like went a little like wacky to me. Like he was shouting out to, you know, dear God, why is it? Why me? Why me? And he got so fired up that he called Jeff God. he lost his mind, you know? I mean, granted, maybe casting knows that they pick the super religious so that they know that they're the ones that are going to go, you know, cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. But, you know, I'm entertained by it. You know, when I tweet, I don't do it in a vindictive way. I'm not facetious. Yeah. I mean, I would never be like, listen, you know, I grew up in a religious family. My sister's married to a preacher. It was an ex-NFL guy. And, you know, I can like anybody for whatever they believe in. And I'm never going to put somebody down for what they believe, you know, but my Twitter and tweets are all, you know, it's just in so many ways, it's just like making fun of myself and I can make fun of other people as well. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I think the reason that we end up seeing this a lot on the show, and somebody explained this to me recently, and I thought this was a really interesting theory, is that the reason why we get so many of these really hardcore religious, you know, especially hardcore Christian people on the show is right. Because, you know, the viewers of Survivor are a wide demographic, but there are a lot of people who watch this show who are very similar in their beliefs to some of these people that they put on the show, like a Matt Elrod or like, you know, or like a Brandon Hance or, you know, some of these people.
Like Roxy.
Roxy. And there are a lot of people like that. I mean, and they're not necessarily a lot of the people who listen to this show. I'm sure there are some of them. But there are a lot that does make up a big demographic of people who watch Survivor, and I think they put those people on there because that is their person to root for.
Oh, right, and those are numbers to CBS. Yeah. That, you know, I mean, if 5 million Christians watch every week, they're like happy campers, you know. And it's kind of the good versus evil thing because, you know, I don't think we've yet to have, you know, a Christian on there who's an evil person. I you know, like, or comes across as like the, you know, the villain.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I can't wait for a priest to get on there. One day.
What if somebody, you know, went on and said they were a priest?
Yeah.
What if they went on with like the collar?
Right. I mean, maybe I should have tried that. I mean, I grew up in the Catholic Church.
Father Troy.
Yeah, come out there. Yeah, Father, what are you? Then they would be like, oh, heck, we can't get rid of the priest, man. Jesus.
Yeah, that would be a good twist. Go on with like the whole with the cross and everything.
Yeah, and you just pray. You got the, you know, you're constantly like.
Yeah.
In the morning, you're doing communion services, and you're piece with pieces of coconut, and you're doing fake wine, and you're just rolling it. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, you'd be the most hated person in America.
Oh,
but you,
my God, Father Troy.
Yeah, forget Johnny Fairplay and the dead grandma. This would be
That'd be all time. But you know, now that we've spilled the beans, you know, there's somebody out there listening. Go, hey, I'm doing that.
I'm doing it. That's good. Troy, when you were on Survivor, did you ever hope that you would get a manicure and or a pedicure?
No, I wasn't. That stuff didn't. It didn't bother me. Not like, you know, like it really. Chelsea was constantly, you know, cleaning her fingernails, and you know the girls were a little bit more like, you know, combing each other's hair and grooming each other like little monkeys. You know, they were, you know, myself and Tarzan, we were kind of like, ah, you know, we just love the experience. We're in here, you know, picking up food off of the sand and eating it and brushing it off. And then that part didn't bother me. I wasn't like jonesing for a shower and a bath. It's like that was all secondary to me. But I mean, that's just me. That's the way I live. I live kind of like, you know, a jungle person anyway. I live down in Miami on 10 acres and I'm running around like, you know, like a monkey man half the time anyway. So that didn't, you know, having dirty fingernails, that didn't bother me at all. And I'm like, yeah, my hair was so, you know, tangled and, you know, gnarled out that it's got to the point like, you know, hey, I got 10 days left, you know, I can deal with it. Or however many days were left in, you know, when we were playing, I'm like, oh, heck, I can do 20 more days. No big deal.
No big deal. Yeah. So that wouldn't have done much for you to go and get a pedicure?
No, I, you know, I don't pedicure. I don't do them anyway. And I was just biting my fingernails off out there like a crazed, you know, gorilla. So, you know, the manicure pedicure thing. Now that hot bath thing, that looked kind of nice.
Yeah,
and a little massage action. Now that's a whole different ball game. I get a massage. Now that's a whole different story.
All right. Well, let's not go there right now.
I wasn't gonna go right. I wasn't talking about that kind of. I wasn't talking about the pure, you know, Asian massage.
Right. Okay. All right. Troy, you ready to talk about some questions that we have for you from our listeners from our Facebook fan page?
Oh yeah, sure. I mean, I'll be glad to do it.
All right, here we go. Let's go into it. These come every week to us from our listeners on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/robasapodcast on Thursdays, and you can get your questions read on the show if they're good. We're not going to read all of them.
Mark, there's probably some bad ones like, why are you such an asshole?
Oh, I've got those if you want them too.
I want to answer to those people. I sometimes offer up, I say, you know what, you really want to ask me a question and you're the tough guy, I'll meet you face to face. You can even call me. I did that to a guy once who on eBay, he was getting all tough and acting like a tough guy. I guess, listen, you want to talk to me, here's my phone number, call me, I'll answer anything you want. He was like, wow.
Oh, well, speaking of eBay, I had some questions about this. So now what happened? So Kim gave you the hidden immunity idol and then you sold it on eBay?
Yes, that's true. No, okay. After the game was completely over, right after Final Tribal Council that night, you know, the three girls come back to Ponderosa and Kim actually tried to present it to me and give it to me at the Final Tribal Council, and Jeff put the kibosh on that. He said, don't be giving anything out. He didn't want me to be swayed in any way.
Right.
And he thought, you know, what's this present you're going to give him? So she goes, listen, Troy, I have something for you. She goes, of all the people here, I think that you deserve this the most, and I want to give you this idol, kind of like as a, you know,
souvenir.
Well, like kind of like a peace offering in a sense, because, you know, we even though they didn't show up, you know, we were never like at each other's throats or anything, but we were against each other, you know, it was Troy versus Kim, you know. And so she just wanted to like kind of bury the hatchet, and for some of the things I think that may have been. Some of the moves that were not seen and some of the moves that were done outside the game, I think that she was trying to make up for that. So that's why she gave it to me.
Okay.
And so then I decided, you know, down the road, I'm like, you know what? This isn't my immunity. It's not the one I found, which I would love to have. This is Kim's. I totally appreciate the offering that she gave to me, but I think a fan out there would probably enjoy it more. So I sold it, and I wanted to give, you know, I support many charities, especially, you know, that have to do with animals, and there's one here in Florida that is a sanctuary for chimpanzees and orangutans. So I said, I'll sell it and, you know, use some of the money to donate to charities, and that's what I did. And I actually used some of the money. I bought my torch back.
Oh. Okay.
I have my original Manano my tribal torch.
Okay, so that was like a trade.
Yeah. And she, we've talked about it. She's happy. And the guy who got it was like totally fired up, and he's actually, it's changed his life, and it's like these weird things have been happening to him. Like he was going to lose his business, and ever since he bought the idol, his business came back to life, and it was like, yeah, yeah. So he's like, he's got this weird mojo over it. And actually, he said, one day I want to give it back to Kim, so can you arrange that for me? So he's bought it, and now he's just going to give it back to Kim at some point.
I mean, Troyzan, do you realize what slipped through your fingers here? A magic hidden immunity idol? I mean, Kim had it the whole time. She ends up going on a magic carpet ride, win Survivor. She is foolish enough to give it up. You have it for a short while. Then you give it to somebody else, and now he's getting all the magical powers. And now
I got a little bit of magical power out of it. I got some mojo going. But, I don't need Kim's energy to
yeah.
We're all good. It's all good.
Okay. Mark Solera wants to know, after watching your web show appearances, I have a question to ask you. Do you own a shirt, Troyzan?
No, and I'm actually shirtless as we speak.
Whoa.
Now, so, I mean, no. I mean, it's like, you know, I do have shorts on, Rob, so it's good. You're good. But, I mean, I'm constantly, like I said, where I live, it's Florida for one, and it's always warm, and I don't like wearing shirts. That's why I felt very comfortable out in Samoa. You know, you saw me, I'd say 95% of the time without a shirt, even when I didn't want to wear, when they made me wear a shirt at some of the at some of the challenges. They're like, no, you have to put a shirt on. I'm like, God, I don't want to put a shirt on.
There was actually a petition signed by the listeners of this podcast that I always wear a shirt in every web show appearance.
Really?
Yes. They had 4,000 signatures.
You're not sporting the P90X body?
Not currently.
Okay. I'm just throwing that. I don't know.
I'm on the P1X.
Oh, the P1X. Is Nicole helping you out with that one?
Yeah, she's a trainer. She writes out a workout for me to do.
I figured, you know, she's got you on the P1.
But I don't want to do it. Yeah, that's the problem.
Okay, well.
All right, Brian Farrell wants to know, Penner was in a similar situation as Troyzan a few weeks back with everyone against him. What does Troyzan feel that Penner did right that kept him in the game besides winning immunity? Now, everybody was against Penner after the merge. He could have easily said, all right, this is my island, everybody. Listen to me. He didn't do that, though.
Right. Well, it was close to the same, but not really. I mean, I don't know if he had everybody completely against him. Like, it wasn't so much against him. It's like I had people that were against me, but also zero willingness to even listen to me, you know? So he had the chance of at least had somebody like to listen to him. I probably made the mistake of there was one person that I could have probably talked to a little bit more and really kind of been adamant. And if I would have got her to change her mind, then everybody else would have probably switched, and that was Alicia. If I could have got Alicia to get on board with, like, listen, you're not going to get to the end with Kim, Chelsea, and Sabrina. Those two are never going to let you in. Convince Tarzan to make a move, and then Christina will switch over, and then we're good to go. And if I would have been more on her, or sweet talked her, or made out with her in the bushes or something,
she
was always fired up like that. Then that would probably been the smart move to make. If I could have changed her mind, that would have changed everybody else's. And that's probably the move that I didn't make. And that's Penner. I saw him. He spoke a little bit more to different people, and was a little bit more, you know, calm, and he wasn't so like, I just had this thing in my head at that point. Like, you know what? I went into like Oakland Raider mode. Like, listen here, MFs, I'm just going to kick your ass. I'll spit on you. I'm going to be so intimidating. You're going to be scared out of your mind. You're going to win every challenge. And I just had this stuck in my head for the, you know, those 10 days of like, I'm going to win out. And I didn't stop and go, you know what, I need to sit and talk to Alicia for just another, you know, 10 hours.
Yeah. And you could have made out also.
And I thank God. Okay. thank God that I dodged a bullet on that one.
All right. Devin Brown.
I didn't want to walk out of Samoa and have to go to the doctor.
Oh, no. Oh no. Well, I'm just
kidding. This is a joke. People don't get me. I'm a smart aleck. I'm sarcastic 95% of the time. You know, for all the fans out there that hate me, that hate and think I'm like, you know, an egomaniac and all this other stuff, I joke around a lot.
Yeah. Well, I get that. I get that.
Okay.
Devin Brown wants to know, if it was your island last time, whose island is it this season?
Oh, my gosh. I'm trying to think, like, whose island, you know, if I go through it, it's not Abby Marie's.
No.
It's not Angie's, although Angie could get voted. No. Artists, no. Carter, definitely no. Dawson, no. Dana, no. Denise, maybe. Jeff, a chance to be in his island. Katie, no. Lisa, maybe. Malcolm, I don't know. Malcolm, I like him, but there's something missing a little bit. Mm-hmm. I know everyone's in love with this guy and really likes him, but I'm not sure if I've seen this grand strategic move or moves that are all just by him.
Yeah. I've said it last night. I haven't seen the great strategic move yet from Malcolm in this game. And I'm not saying that it's not coming or he's not capable of it, but I have not seen anything yet that is like damn, that guy, he is he really knows what he's doing out there.
Right. He hasn't been like, this is my island. It's not Malcolm's island. Pete thought it was his island.
Yeah.
I think he even might have like tried to sneak in a, this is my island.
Yeah.
Somebody tweeted that to me. I'm like, really? He can't be using that. Now, come on. You got to. I'd say probably it's between.
Is it Scoopin's island?
Well, Scoopin's looking pretty good. And here's the deal. I'll give it to Scoopin. It's Scoopin's island so far. And the reason why is because he balances balls. He can balance balls as well as Troy's in.
That's good.
I balanced my balls and won the first individual immunity, and he balanced his balls. And
very
I think
important.
Old guys just have a very good sense of balancing our balls. So I'm
well
giving
done.
It to Michael Scoopin.
Yeah. All right, Jessica Frey, our head of interns, she wants to know, if you were put on an all-star season with Kim, would you align yourself with her, or would you vote her out right away?
I would align with Kim.
Now, are you just saying that?
No, I would align with her. We're friends. I mean, she's intelligent, you know. I don't. And the thing is, it's like, She's an intelligent player, and I would want to be with somebody that I know at least grasp what I'm saying, you know. that's such a hard question, because it's like I would be almost for sure that they're not going to put us on the same team or the same tribe right away, and you know, it's one of those things. But I don't know if we'd be on the same season, or it might be, you know, Kim versus Troy season. That might be interesting.
Oh, okay. That could be interesting.
Yeah. Right. I don't know. Let's see. I have to pass on that question.
That's fine. Okay, let's go to Kevin Donnelly. He wants to know, who's a better player, Abby Maria or Tarzan?
That's a good one, because they're really kind of in the same, they both made it in the same amount of time, doing the same amount of, you know what? I think something's going to happen next week with Abby Maria. I'd say Abby Maria.
Okay, she's better than Tarzan.
Yeah.
Now, why do you say that?
Because she, I think she has some sense of that, of how to get to from point A to point B as far as it, you know, getting in the game. Tarzan had some wacky ideas out there, and I wasn't really sure that he was really knew the social I mean, like, he would say stuff to, like, Leaf when he wanted to get Leaf out of the game because he supposedly told Bill something, and remember he scolded Leaf like, yeah, you're a bad little boy, and you are going to lay on the sword right now, and you're going to do this, you know. It's like, I think he thinks that he has a great idea of Survivor, but he plays it more like an army, like a strategic, like, we're going to infiltrate and we're going to do this, and that everybody out there is 100% trustworthy. Mm-hmm. He has this in his mind that everybody is telling the truth. And he didn't know what was going on when him and Jonas got into an argument. He didn't know what was going on when I was trying to present him things. And I think Abby's just one notch. One notch. She goes, okay, like, so whoever wins is a 10, Abby Maria would be like a 1.5.
And Tarzan's a 1?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Strategic.
Now, was any of the stuff that Tarzan was doing, was that any of that for show? Was any of that for TV? Or that really was Tarzan?
No, that was for show.
Okay. What was for show?
A lot of it. I mean, the parts where he's, you know, dancing around in the fire in his underwear, all of his underwear stuff, stuffing leaves in his, you know, underwear and walking around in his blue Speedos, that was all. He knew the camera was on him.
But why? But what's the end game for Tarzan? Is it like, you know, I'm going to be the greatest reality star? I'm going to get famous from this. I mean, he doesn't seem like, what is the end game?
Tarzan was in it for the total adventure. He's a total adventure guy. We talk all the time. We're really good friends. And I hope he doesn't get mad that I think that Abby Maria is more strategic. But, you know, if I look back on it, on what he did strategically, I wasn't sure if he knew quite everything.
Okay.
Just compared to her. But Tarzan, you know, he was in it for the adventure. He's a total, you know, he's traveled the world. He's been to, you know, every country and done, you know, like the Amazon and, you know, trekked in, you know, Africa. And he's just, you know, he's been everywhere. And he just wanted an adventure. And I don't think that he really wanted to start playing the game until he realized, like, towards the end, like, oh, wow, you know what? I think maybe I can get to win. He really was playing 100%, and he told me this, to see his wife. That's what he wanted. So he wasn't playing to the end. So, like, that was difficult to play with, because if you're not playing with someone that wants to go to win to the end, you can't get someone like that to change his mind. He made a deal with the girls, and he was like, that's it. I will not budge from this decision. So there was no changing his mind. And he was like, I'll just act crazy. I'll do whatever. I'll put cat's underwear on my head. I'll wear Monica's council. I'll throw my underwear in the soup bucket for Chelsea. I'll act goofy at tribal council. No, I'll come up with this, you know, I'll come up with these crazy words that no one knows. He knows that people don't know his crazy, you know,
right.
Dictionary, you know, he uses words that are completely, you know, that makes us oblivious to, like, whatever he's saying. And but the real part of him was when he would get angry at people for not doing what he wanted to do, because he's so used to being the boss. Mm-hmm. His business, you know, he's a plastic surgeon. If he says you do this and you don't do it, someone can die. So he's got this thing in his head, like, you're going to listen to me. And if you don't, you're stupid, and I'm going to get mad at you. And he tried to, like, they didn't really show up, but him and Kat were playing checkers, and he was trying to tell her how to play. And, you know, any kind of argument thing, if that was real. But, like, a lot of times he knew the cameras on him, you know, when Colton was trying to explain things to him and he had this goofy
right.
He knew he would act kind of goofy. And he's not as a total goofball as what you saw.
Okay. Annie Chen wants to know, and I'm sure that you get this question a lot, what was the answer you wanted from Kim during the final tribal council? You looked really disappointed at what she said. So let's just rehash this a little bit, if you don't mind.
Jeez, here we go. The thing is, yeah.
If you have the short answer, that's great. But let me just say, in case people don't know what we're talking about, you asked Kim, what was the moment you knew that you were going to betray our alliance, correct? That was the question?
No, it's like, when was the moment that you, what move did you make to destroy my game?
Okay.
To destroy my chances of winning this game?
And so she answered when they voted out Jonas. Was that right?
Yes.
And
because when I got you to vote out Jonas.
Okay. And then you seemed disappointed and you voted right. for Sabrina. Was that the right answer? No, it was the
wrong answer. And I was looking for an answer that was, in so many ways, how can I say?
What would have been the perfect answer?
Well, there is an answer that she could have given me. Okay. There are things that happened outside this game, and I wanted her to answer a question that I wanted to actually, the tribal council speech that I gave was really not the one that I wanted to give. And the reason being was that I kind of was led to believe that if I was going to do any kind of ranting and raving, I would leave and look more bitter, and the fans wouldn't understand it and they wouldn't like it. And so I asked her this question because in a sense, my hands were tied and I wasn't able to speak about things in the game that the audience didn't see and stuff behind the scenes. So I, in a sense, it was like, well, if I can't ask you a question that the audience is never going to see, then I'm going to ask you a question that in so many ways, if you have the balls to answer my question, then I'll give you the money. If you don't, then I won't.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't have the guts to answer my question in front of her, which would never have made the air, would have never been aired, but at least it would have been said to me mm-hmm. and in front of everybody. And that's what I wanted. And she didn't answer that.
Okay.
She knew the answer. And there were things cut out of the final tribal scenario where I said, listen, you know what I know. You know what I'm talking about. And I know that you know that I know. And I know that you know. this. So if you have the balls to answer the question, then answer it. And if you don't, then you're not the survivor that I think that you are. So she didn't answer the question. So I was not going to award her, even though she deserved it. I'm the kind of person that's like, it was an ethical question and I needed the ethical answer and I didn't get it from her.
Okay.
And it's really something that I can't go completely into.
Man, this is going to be some book one day, Troyzan.
Yes.
All right. Renee Herrera wants to know, Troyzan, whose taters were the best on One World and whose are the best this season? Now, again, I don't write these questions.
Oh, you know why? You know why the taters thing came out. That's another thing that I said.
I know. I remember you said I remember that you said it.
I thought you may have forgotten about the taters.
No, I did. I did not. I did not forget.
Oh, okay. Do you refer to Nicole's as tater?
I have not yet. But in honor, since it is Thanksgiving, I may use the phrase taters.
Like today, just hey Nicole, pass the taters. I would love to just see a recording of that. yeah, that was on episode one. So you can't come
yeah.
with your
you're talking taters. About what Monica, right?
No, yeah. Well, Monica and. Alicia, they came over trying to, you know, get fire, and they were going to do a strip tease for us, and you know, and I said, you can't come over here with your set of taters on you.
All right.
You know. All anyway, right.
Take us through the last two seasons in taters.
Okay, so I believe that Christina Cha has outstanding, maybe world class, all time survivor taters.
All right.
Okay. And. do you want the reasons why or just...
No,
that,
no, that's fine. That's fine.
And the, Chelsea Meisner, a very close second on the tater.
Okay. What about Survivor Philippines?
Survivor Philippines. Oh, come on. There's only one. I mean, there's one set of taters that are just primo.
Does she like cookies?
And yes, she loves cookies. She's the cookie monster, and I have to give it to Angie. She's working the cookies very well, and she might. I'd like to see a. There should be a Rob's got a podcast like Taters Off.
Wow.
Don't you think?
Tater off. Like, okay, well, as close as we're going to get to that is Laura Holtzwasser wants to know, who is Troyzan's vote for Miss Survivor? And you get extra pull for the swimsuit category. So last year we had the first annual Miss Survivor pageant. It was all time through Survivor. It was won by Parvati Shallow. But now for the 2012 or 2013, depending on how you want to look at it, Miss Survivor, I'm only going to limit it to the people who have played Survivor in the last calendar year.
Really?
Yes, only people who have played Survivor from Survivor One World and Survivor Philippines. And we will crown a Miss Survivor who played Survivor on TV in this year.
Really?
Yes.
But somebody from my cast or this cast, I get to choose.
Yes. Miss Survivor. Who do you endorse?
Did I get a top three? I was gonna vote for Amanda because I always thought she was kind of
She had her chance last year.
She's up there, and that Julie Berry or Berry,
she's very good also, very classy Julie Berry.
Yes, and I would say there's a girl from Africa. What was her name?
Africa.
Jesse Camacho.
Oh, Macho Camacho.
Macho man. Yeah, she's a macho girl. Okay, so my top three. I got to say Kim and Chelsea from our season and Angie from this season.
Okay. And you would endorse Kim for Miss Survivor?
Yes, I would endorse Kim, and she would be shocked at that.
Okay. She would.
Kim is a hot chick. If she wasn't engaged, I mean, you know, who knows?
Yeah. Now,
when you
heard Kim got engaged after Survivor, were you as worried as I was that there could be a gold digger coming along now?
So I'm very concerned with this. This is highly questionable. This, you know, will you marry me after you win? Oh, I don't know, man. it's very soon. I think she hasn't been divorced that long. You know,
getting back on the horse.
Yeah, you know, Johnny Funbucks comes rolling in here with the proposal after the win. I don't know. I met the guy, and I'm not giving the full endorsement. She doesn't get the Troyzan blessing.
Did Kim ask you to give her away at her wedding?
Not yet. that's still in the running.
Will all bygones be bygones if Kim asks you to give her away at her wedding?
No.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Yeah.
No, there's still unfinished business.
All right. A couple more questions. Keith Kilduff wants to know, is Malcolm your love child? Very similar looking. Have you gotten a paternity test? Could Malcolm potentially be one of your offspring?
Yes, he could. He's got the same kind of hair thing going. He wears the same hair deals. There could be a chance. I've spent some time in California in the 80s and, you know, not saying too much, you just never know because, how can I put this?
I don't think you need to put it anyway.
The condom thing was not as popular back in those days. There's a chance. There's a slight chance.
Thomas Forsey wants to know, is Kate Upton a fan of the show?
Yes, she is.
Oh.
And she used to follow me, which is out crazy because like she was all – there's a picture of myself and her in Australia last year, and she's actually doing the 2-4 sign, which is Survivor 24.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and it might be actually up on Twitter because there's like a helicopter behind us and she's all, you know, giving the 2-4 sign and I don't think she's tweeting like crazy about it, but there's actually a lot of, not just Kate, I mean, there's a lot of swimsuit girls that are totally into Survivor.
Well, I had not ever found that to be true, but this is good news.
Yeah, like there's like, I mean, I could, there's a good 10. Bar Raffaele was, who used to go out with, she was
Leo.
On the cover. Leo, exactly. Look at you. and she's a big fan, and she was like, you know, tweeting during the season a little bit, and I was kind of like, wow, okay. And Brooklyn Decker, she's a big fan. Chrissy Teigen, she's a fan. So, yeah, there's a few. I got the SI team behind me.
All right, I've got a question for you. Troyzan, when you were at the Survivor One World finale back in May, yes. and there was the everybody's favorite, Mayim Bialik, sitting there in the audience, did you have any sense that her marriage was on the rocks, soon to be falling apart, as reported by TMZ this week?
I had no idea, and I didn't even know really who that was. But no, I had zero idea. What that's you got me on that one.
Yeah, and was it bad karma for Derek Jeter to not come to the Survivor One World finale after all?
Yes, major bad karma on that one, because he, you know, obviously we knew what we now know what happened with the breaking of the ankle. Is that what he did?
Broke his ankle.
Yeah, break the ankle. It's like he was one game away from being at the finale.
Mm-hmm.
He had a game in Baltimore. He had to go to Baltimore. I called him that. We talked while I was in New York. And he's like, I want to come to this finale, man. He was all fired up. I mean, his family had been watching the games. I mean, games. His family had been watching the shows,
yeah.
the episodes. And he's like, I want to go. But he goes, I have to play. He goes, you know, if we had a home game, I'd be there. So he was basically going, and then realized he couldn't. He had to go on the road.
If Derek Jeter had Kim's immunity idol, would he have broken his ankle in the playoffs?
Yes.
Oh, I thought I thought it has good luck.
Well, it does, but like it's got. See, he's on my side, so and it's like a reverse, you know, reverse polarization of the energy of the idol. So it wouldn't have worked. Now, if he would have touched like my buff, if he would have worn my buff under his hat. Then that's a whole different ball game. Or maybe had my immunity torch in the dugout,
in the bat rack.
I'm gonna see Derek again, in Tampa in January.
Yeah,
I'm gonna be shooting with him again, and so maybe I'll pose these questions.
Ask
to him.
Yeah, and maybe you can give some of your stuff to the Mets because they need it more.
Maybe we could try. Yeah, the Mets need something.
They need something. All right. Let's see. Here's another one from Matt Curran. He wants to know, who is the better photographer, you or Ace from Gabon? Could you have a shoot-off with Ace?
Okay, here we go. that's not even close. And I'm not being like, you know, egotistical, but I don't know does he have a website?
I'm sure he does if he's any good.
Well, let's
do
it. Let's have a shoot off. Here's the shoot off. We have the fans pick whichever survivor they want to have shot.
Yes.
We shoot him. He shoots her one day. I shoot her the next, and then we post like 3 of the top pictures.
All right. I don't know if anybody is in touch with Ace from Gabon, but if anybody is, we will try to set this up. The Rob is a podcast.
Is Ace American, or is Ace American that has a British accent or wants a British accent?
I don't know. We'll save it for the Smack Talk competition.
Okay, buddy. Ace, work it out, buddy.
Part one is a debate. Okay. We'll have a bunch of series of photography questions.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. F-stop and the ISO.
F-stop. Do you want to shoot on film or shoot digitally? We'll go off the debate.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
And then round two will be we will give you a survivor, and then you have to, and it won't be like one of the really pretty ones. It'll be like, we're going to find a girl who's like a 5, and then you guys both see what you guys can do.
oh, that's not good. Who's going to agree to that? Hi, honey, you're a five, but we're not going to
tell them that they're a five. Well, oh, okay, I know who all the fives are, but I'm going to like, hey, we picked you because we thought you'd be really good at this. I'm not going to tell her the part that, oh, well, you were the five.
Yeah, okay, good. Yeah, let's do that. I can do that.
Yeah.
<That's good. laughs> I don't think the fans will appreciate it, but
I think they would love it.
Really?
Shoot off.
Okay.
Okay. And then last question. Christine Radis wants to know, what's something that happened on One World that wasn't televised that we'd be surprised to know? Always love the inside baseball. So you don't have to get into the whole thing with Kim if that's where you're gonna go. But is there something that wasn't on the show that you could tell us that was a good story?
Let's see. I'm trying to go through this what you didn't see on the show. It's a good story. My brain is stumped here. I'm like, well, because I was gonna say Tarzan's tribal dances, but you know you did get to see that. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. I'm stumped.
All right, that's fine.
I'm totally stumped.
Yeah, that's fine.
That was surprised.
About something that was good that happened at Ponderosa?
Well, you guys saw Ponderosa.
Well, not everything. Not everybody watches those videos.
Okay, that's a good one. Okay, now I got it. Okay, Ponderosa, it was like always playing this cards game, and we were like drinking, you know, card games with Kat. When Kat was there, Alicia came back. So it was me, Alicia, Jay Bird, and Leaf. We're all sitting around, and it was like, you know, Kat and Alicia wanted to make out with Jay, just like,
boy,
bad dogs.
Like a one-track mind.
Oh my God. So it kept going like, okay. And so I don't know what the game was or how it went, but it was like, always like, okay. Oh, you lose. Oh, you got to kiss. We got to kiss Jay. So Jay was like, just, you know, in between Kat and Alicia, like,
wow.
Like there was no tomorrow. So that was like, there was a little, makeout session there that you didn't get to see. That was classic. I actually shot a couple pictures on this, like disposable cameras.
They still give you the disposable cameras in Ponderosa. Yeah. This Ponderosa technology has not evolved over the last 10 years.
Brutal, like this, and it's like the worst one. You know, it's like the $399 Kmart special. It's so bad. In ISO 10,000, they're all grainy when you get these pictures back. So there are pictures out there somewhere of Jay and Alicia, you know, manging on it.
Whoa.
And. So that was that would be a classic little video.
Oh, there you go.
That was a good question.
Yeah. All right, Troyzan. What is your Twitter handle if people want to hear what you have to say about religion and everything with Survivor?
Yes, Father Troyzan. Troy _ Zan.
Okay, great.
That's my Twitter. My website is just troyrobertson.com. You can buy my t-shirts at cafepress.com/Troyzan. And there's some cool stuff. I have the t-shirts say Team Troyzan with it's like a silhouette of me.
Yeah.
And then there's other ones where they're quotes from the show. Like, you know, you ain't coming over here with your set of taters, or don't F with me, or this is my island. And it's a Troyzan store, so you can go purchase stuff.
Do you have Troyzan's balancing his balls?
I don't have that. Troyzan's mine wasn't as good as Troyzan's balls haven't moved in a long time. That was pretty good, but that's a lot to put on his shirt. You know, I liked Mike's balls are balancing on both sides of his disc.
Yeah, that was that's I mentioned got, that
that's all time. All-time Jeff Probst quote.
That was great. That's great. All right. Troyzan, thanks so much. I hope that you have changed the mind of some of the Troyzan doubters today.
Yes, I hope so. I really love the fans, and I like the fans that even like dislike me, because I like to, you know, toy with them, and I like to, you know, answer their questions. And I'm a new Troyzan today on Thanksgiving.
Yes, on Thanksgiving, be thankful. And you know what? Like Troyzan or hate Troyzan, Much better to have a guy who stands there and, you know, takes it, you know, talks with everybody than one of these people who just doesn't even acknowledge anybody, just, you know, doesn't tweet, doesn't do any of these things. And, you know, there's no give and take with somebody. And that's certainly not you, Troyzan.
Yes, I'll never hide from anybody.
All right. Well, Troyzan, have a great Thanksgiving. All the best to you. Hope the Raiders can turn this around for you going forward.
Brutal. Brutal. Okay, I'm a Jets fan today, buddy.
Yeah.
So happy Thanksgiving to you and Nicole, and I hope you have a great day. And again, it was a pleasure coming on. I love your podcast, and it's the best one around.
Ah, thanks,
so,
Roseanne.
I hope to see you soon. I'll be out in L.A. in December, so maybe
right.
at some point
for the finale.
I got to go shoot.
Oh, okay.
But I got to come out there in the first part of December. I had to for some work. And maybe we'll get together.
All right, who knows? All right, Troyzan.
Yeah.
Thanks so much, and take care, buddy.
Okay, man.
Bye.
See ya.
All right, everybody, there you have it. That was Troyzan appearing back here on Rob Has a Podcast. And Troyzan, for appearing on Rob Has a Podcast, you'll receive a Tundra hat courtesy of our friends over at robhasatundrahat.com. That's a direct link to Otis's own Tundra Gear website. You can get a Tundra hat for anybody on your Christmas list, and God knows they'll appreciate it because it is freaking cold out in most of the country right now. So get a Tundra hat, stay warm, give it as a gift. People love the Tundra hat, and you can save 25% on your Tundra hat purchase. Use the coupon code RobHasACoupon at RobHasATundraHat.com. So that's an easy one to cross off your shopping list. So let's go ahead, and what we like to do here is check in with what you guys had to say. And something new that we started doing this season was hearing from you guys on your voicemail. And if you want to ever leave us a voicemail, all you have to do, you do it directly from your computer. Go to RobHasAWebsite.com/voicemail. Fire up your microphone. Go ahead. We get a ton of messages every week. I pick out some of the best ones to play for you guys. And so let's start it off with some voicemail. Let's pick it up here with a message from Brian Hickey.
Hey, Rob. Brian Hickey here. Really disappointed in Denise last night. I've been a big fan. But she was really kicking Abby Maria when she was down. And she also said that she didn't want to take Abby to the final because it would be like a poker player taking a bad player and just taking their money. Isn't that the point of Survivor? Just wanted to hear your thoughts.
All right, great question, Brian. We touched on this a little bit earlier and a little bit on the recap show. I mean, I don't know why, and I've been a Denise fan all the way. I felt like Denise got a little bit up on a soapbox in front of everybody, and I don't really know what the point was. Yes, Denise, we understand that you are not fond of Abby Maria, and that's fine what you were saying in your confessionals, but I have a good rule when it comes down to Survivor, and that rule is, what would Boston Rob do? WWBRD. And I don't think that Boston Rob... Look, go back to Survivor Redemption Island. Is Boston Rob going after Philip and telling him how he's, you know, he's a bad player, he's worthless, I don't want to bring a guy like this to the end? No. And Boston Rob plays poker. He knows you do want to bring a person who doesn't know how to play poker to a poker game. You never bring anybody to a poker game who knows how to play poker. It's rule number one. Yes, I don't know what you're thinking, Denise. We like you, Denise. I want to see you do well. But Denise, don't be a hero. Just win the game. Win it. When you're winning it for a second time, then worry about, hey, I want to beat the best that there is out there. Bring on all the competition. Just win the game once, Denise. You're going to be kicking yourself if you, you know, get rid of players like Abby Maria and then somebody good beats you in the end. Believe me, don't be a hero. Better to be the worst person to ever win the game than the best person not to win the game. Trust me, that don't be a hero, Denise. All right, let's go. Let's take Edward calling us from Australia. Here we go. Here's Edward.
Hey, Rob. Edward from Australia here. I just wanted to point out the cool fact about Denise. If she makes it to the final two, she'll become the first person to attend every single tribal council in one season.
All right, interesting fact that Denise would be able to. If she did win the game, she could say, yes, I was at as many tribal councils this season as Jeff Probst, and I did not get my torch smuffed the whole season. So good job by Denise. She is on a historic pace, but we'll see. She better get off that soapbox or she's not going to make it that far. All right, so let's go ahead and let's give you Ori Kohav a voicemail. He's got a question about the jury.
Hey, Rob and Nicole. Ori Kohav here. There's a debate I'm having with other Survivor fans. How would you compare RC and Eliza? Just so you know, they both tweeted about it, and they take it as a compliment.
All right. RC versus Eliza. Now, Eliza is well known as the greatest jury member to ever play the game, which is quite an accomplishment out of all the jury players. Nobody rolls their eyes. Nobody is more indignant than anything that gets said. Nobody is there has their mouth open, shaking their head, arms folded, like Eliza Orlins. She's never heard one thing in a final tribal council or at any tribal council that made her crack a smile. She's the anti-artist. Artist, he was mad the whole game. He gets on the jury, and now he's smiling. Eliza, she's the opposite. She gets on the jury, and she is mad as hell, and she's not going to take it. Now, here comes RC, and I'll be honest, she's given RC she's giving Eliza a real run for her money so far this season. She's annoyed. Everything she says... Are you kidding me? Like, she's got her arms folded, she's rolling her eyes, the mouth open. Good, good, good. Now, here's the thing. It's too soon to be making this comparison. RC has a lot of time left on the jury. Hopefully, let's see, did she bring enough jury outfits to get through being the first person on the jury? Plus, what kind of question is she going to ask at the final tribal council? You know, she's been very mad the whole time. Will she be able to keep that anger going all the way to the final tribal council? We'll see. She's on a historic pace. But we'll see. She could get petered out. Too much drinking, too much fun in the sun. You know, she might start to have a good time at the Ponderosa eventually, and that could take the edge off. But we'll keep an eye on that. Good question, Ori. All right, let's go to Sean James, and he has a question about Survivor versus Big Brother.
Hey, Rob and Nicole. It's Sean James. This is a question more directed towards Rob. You've always said that Big Brother is always interesting in the beginning, and then after a while, kind of dies down after like month two. And in Survivor, you've said that pre-merge, it's fairly boring, but post-merge, when there's more time to maneuver, it's more interesting. Do you think there's been some sort of reversal in the past few years? What with Survivor now kind of being boring after the merge? Take Redemption Island, first few episodes with Philip, everyone thought was amazing. After the merge, it was just Boston Rob dominating everything. Against Bradley season, you know, before the merge, Colton was going crazy. After the merge, very predictable. This season, also starting to die down after the merge. It's going to have a few predictable weeks coming up. And then on Big Brother, you see, in the beginning of last season, was, you know, fairly interesting with all the Willy Hants, but it really, really picked up with Dan Gieseling. So I just want to know if you think that there's anything, maybe it has to do with the returning players with this reversal or something.
All right, Sean, thank you very much for the call. Although I do have to disagree with you fundamentally on your premise, which is that this season is getting boring after the merge. And I think that this season may have been a little slow to find itself in the early going pre-merge of this season. But I think this has been a very exciting post-merge. Yes, there wasn't a big flip that happened in the game last night, but I don't know how this is going to go. I couldn't tell you who's going to win the game right now. So I think this is going to be a pretty unpredictable finish here the rest of the way. Now, in the past, you're right. I have said that I feel like Big Brother starts off with a bang and gets slower as the game goes on because it gets more predictable and people are less likely to make moves. Kudos to Dan Gieseling and Ian Terry for keeping it really, really exciting down the stretch, but I think that was more of an exception to the rule, and I do think that Survivor gets far more exciting when there's down to six people, down to five people, whereas in Big Brother, it's much more exciting when there's, you know, 12 or 11 people in the house. Anything could happen. Very rarely do you get to the point on Big Brother where anything could happen when there's only, you know, four or five people left, and I think that's really exciting when we have a Survivor season like that. So I hear you. I hear what you're saying, but I still disagree. And now, last question. This comes to us from Jeff Spence. Here we go. Take it away, Jeff.
Hi, Rob Nicole. This is Jeff Spence. I think there is a general consensus among podcast listeners that Rob Has a Podcast is a podcast of record for Survivor. As such, I propose that Rob host a formal debate of who is the best Survivor ever, Ross and Rob, Parvati, or Sandra. During the Survivor offseason, when we are jonesing for anything Survivor, we can have this debate, and you can pick an advocate for each of them, and we can have it out and let listeners decide. What do you think?
All right, Jeff, thank you very much, one, for calling Rob as a Podcast the podcast of record as far as Survivor is concerned. This podcast should not even be recorded, let alone being the podcast of record. But that being said, how about this? I don't think that there is. Yeah, everybody could debate until the cows come home out of the big three. Who's the best? Boston Rob, Sandra, Parvati. I mean, we did our top 20 players of all time. Parvati came out as the winner on that. I think we could do it again. Boston Rob could come out. We could do it again. Sandra could come out as the winner. I just don't think it's like a rock, paper, scissors where it's like Boston Rob is always beats Parvati. Parvati always beats Sandra. Sandra always beats Boston Rob. I don't think so. I think it's always going to come down to what are the other players in the game? What are the other variables? What happened pre-merge? It's, you know, there is no right or wrong answer who is the best player. So it's really, you take your pick. They've all got their advantages and disadvantages, which we all know, and I don't need to list here again. I think it's an interesting question to do Survivor debates, but I don't know about debating who is the best player. It's something that's very subjective, and it's not something that I think is really conducive to a fun debate as opposed to some of the stuff we've done in the previous offseason where we said, okay, what are the ways we can improve Survivor, some other things. I don't know. I feel like the who's the best player argument is a road to nowhere and just ends up pissing a bunch of people off. But if there is a big outcry to do this, to crown a best Survivor player of all time in debate, I will always listen to the will of the people on this show. This is your podcast, and we do what you want to hear. But I feel like I'm not sure exactly if that's the best use of our podcasting time. All right, let's jump into some of the comments and tweets that come in from the Survivors and from you guys over on Twitter. Our team of interns headed up by Jessica Frey this week had a very careful eye on everything happening on the interwebs. And here we go. This is Jeff Probst, I guess, was taking a lot of heat on Twitter from people. Jeff Probst tweeted back to people, "Hey guys, love the responses. I wasn't intending to be hard on Abby. I was just trying to make it clear what the tribe was saying." I did not have an issue with Jeff Probst. I know some of you guys were saying that Jeff Probst was hard on the other Survivors, or hard on Abby Maria in particular tonight. I thought he was just like, all right, hey, let's clarify what Denise is saying. Let's drill down a little bit here. Like, I did not think that he was doing anything that was beyond anything that was kosher for Jeff Probst. So I thought it was a good tribal council, and I thought he really did dig deep on that, but not in a way that I thought was invasive or over the line. Pete Yurkowski on Twitter, he tweeted, "I got voted out? WTF, something must be wrong with your TVs." Oh, so there you go, a joke from Pete. And I will bring you an interview with Pete. Hopefully he's that funny on Monday when I interview him. No exit interviews on Thursday because of Thanksgiving. So I will have an interview with Pete Yurkowski on Monday. We'll ask him about everything with Abby Maria and everything from his, you know, planting the note and all the chaos and everything from Survivor Philippines. @CartWilliams, he tweeted, "Dang it, I actually did something stupid? That's not like me. I can't wait to watch." Yes, Carter has taken a lot of abuse from a lot of people so far this season. I'm sure he's a nice guy. Glad to see he has a good sense of humor about what's going on the show. Let's see. At Rupert Bonham, he tried his hand at live tweeting last night. He had a few interesting things to say. He said, I can't believe they didn't bring back any scraps from the reward. We always snuck back a few scraps. Hashtag Survivor. So Rupert, yes, Rupert would not be an Abby Maria, certainly, and come back and talk about, it's like I had a 3-month baby in my belly. It's like I went from being a peasant to being a princess. No, we would not see that from Rupert. Rupert was always very good at sharing with the tribe. So that is something that's very good. Good on Rupert for trying his hand on the live tweeting. Always like to see when people are getting more involved with the Survivor. Max Dawson, the reality TV professor himself, F.Y. Maxwell, says he tweeted, Pete tells Scoopin' that Malcolm is the biggest person in this game. If you heard Jeff Varner on RHAP, you know that's unlikely. Whoa, hey now. attention to detail by Max Dawson. We always like to check out our comments from robisthewebsite.com. In our artist exit interview, Nick Fishman wrote, after hearing artists unedited by production, I think it's not fair to label him as a Rick or Purple Kelly. I think he has a personality and isn't boring and fell victim to the system and other storylines. So Nick Fishman is apparently saying that the show is flawed. It's not working. It's not showing us artists. Turned him into purple artists. And he's. I thought Artis did have a good spark. I thought Artis was good on the show. So we'll see what happens next. All right. So that's going to do it for Rob as a podcast. I'm going to get out of here and go ahead and end this podcast. I will bring you another podcast over the weekend. Look for probably like Saturday, maybe late Saturday. The Tyson podcast. We'll check back in with Tyson. Bring you all of that. We'll have an interview with Pete on Monday. We will bring you Survivor Jeopardy on Tuesday. Back for Survivor Know-It-Alls on Wednesday. And then we'll do it all over again. Talk to the next person kicked out of the tribe. And then do another Survivor podcast this upcoming Thursday. And, you know, it's been a fun Survivor season. Looking forward to keeping it going. We're also supposed to talk to Gordon Holmes also this week. We'll bring you an interview with Gordon Holmes, the curator and founder of the Survivor Hall of Fame. Voting is still going on. I had a great honor this week that Jeff Probst nominated me in one of his 3 nominations for the Survivor Hall of Fame. Could not thank Jeff enough. That is a real true honor, and I'm very flattered that Jeff would even consider me for one of his 3 nominations, and I was really, really blown away that Jeff would do something like that, and I really, really appreciated that because I don't think you could ever have a better endorsement than the host of the show calling you a worthy player in that manner. So thank you very much to Jeff Probst, who I don't think regularly listens to the podcast, and surely not an hour and 40 minutes into a podcast. But if he did, thank you very much, big guy. Much appreciate it. So there you go, everybody. That's going to do it for Rob Has a Podcast. We're going to be back on with Tyson in the next show. Hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving. Didn't eat too much turkey. Didn't get trampled going out there in Black Friday. And don't forget, for all your holiday gifts, go to robhasawebsite.com/Amazon. You don't pay any extra, and it's a great way to keep the podcast juices flowing. Thank you guys very much. Have a great day. Talk to you soon. Bye.